Chapter 51. Battery Testing and Service. Battery service safety considerations, hazards. Batteries contain acid and release explosive gases, hydrogen and oxygen, during normal charging and discharging cycles. Safety procedures. To help prevent physical injury or damage to the vehicle, always adhere to the following safety procedures. Number 1. When working on any electrical component on a vehicle, disconnect the negative battery cable from the battery. When the negative cable is disconnected, all electrical circuits in the vehicle are open, which prevents accidental electrical contact between an electrical component and ground. Any electrical spark has the potential to cause explosion and personal injury. Number 2. Wear eye protection, goggles preferred, when working around any battery. Number 3. Wear protective clothing to avoid skin contact with battery acid. Number 4. Always adhere to all safety precautions as stated in the service procedures for the equipment used for battery service and testing. Number 5. Never smoke or use an open flame around any battery. Number 6. Never attempt to jump start or charge a frozen battery. Refer to Figure 51-1. A visual inspection on this battery shows the electrolyte level is below the plates in all cells. Not many batteries can be checked for the electrolyte level and, if low, the battery is likely at the end of its normal service life. Symptoms of a weak or defective battery. The following warning signs indicate that a battery is near the end of its useful life. Uses water in one or more cells. This indicates that the plates are sulfated and that, during the charging process, the water in the electrolyte is being turned into separate hydrogen and oxygen gases. See Figure 51-1. Excessive corrosion on battery cables or connections. Corrosion is more likely to occur if the battery is sulfated, creating hot spots on the plates. When the battery is being charged, the acid fumes are forced out of the vent holes and onto the battery cables, connections, and even on the battery tray underneath the battery. See Figure 51-2. Slower than normal engine cranking. When the capacity of the battery is reduced due to damage or age, it is less likely to be able to supply the necessary current for starting the engine, especially during cold weather. Refer to Figure 51-2. Corrosion on a battery cable could be an indication that the battery itself is either being overcharged or is sulfated, creating a lot of gassing of the electrolyte. Tech tip: dynamic versus open circuit voltage. Open circuit voltage is the voltage, usually of a battery, that exists without a load being applied. Dynamic voltage is the voltage of the power source, or battery, with the circuit in operation. A vehicle battery, for example, may indicate that it has 12.6 volts or more, but that voltage drops when the battery is put under a load, such as cranking the engine. If the battery voltage drops too much, the starter motor rotates more slowly and the engine may not start. If the dynamic voltage is lower than specified, the battery may be weak or defective or the circuit may be defective. Battery maintenance. Need for maintenance. Most new style batteries are of a maintenance-free design that uses lead calcium, instead of lead antimony, plate grid construction. Because lead calcium batteries do not release as much gas as the older style, lead antimony, batteries, there is less consumption of water during normal service. Also, with less gassing, less corrosion is observed on the battery terminals, wiring, and support trays. If the electrolyte level can be checked, and if it is low, add only distilled water. Distilled water is recommended by all battery manufacturers, but if distilled water is not available, clean ordinary drinking water, low in mineral content, can be used. Battery maintenance includes making certain that the battery case is clean, and checking that the battery cables and hold-down fasteners are clean and tight. Refer to Figure 51-3, using a baking soda and water paste to remove the corrosion on a battery terminal. Battery terminal cleaning. Many battery-related faults are caused by poor electrical connections at the battery. Battery cable connections should be checked and cleaned to prevent voltage drop at the connections. One common reason for an engine to not start is loose or corroded battery cable connections. Perform an inspection and check for the following conditions. Number 1. Loose or corroded connections at the battery terminals should not be able to be moved by hand. Number 2. Loose or corroded connections at the ground connector on the engine block. Number 3. Wiring that has been modified to add auxiliary power for a sound system or other electrical accessory. If the connections are loose or corroded, use 1 tablespoon of baking soda and 1 quart of water and brush this mixture onto the battery and housing to neutralize the acid. Mechanically clean the connections and wash the area with water. See Figure 51-3. Battery hold down. The battery should also be secured with a hold-down bracket to prevent vibration from damaging the plates inside the battery. The hold-down bracket should be snug enough to prevent battery movement, yet not so tight as to cause the case to crack. Factory original hold-down brackets are often available through local automobile dealers, and universal hold-down units are available through local automotive parts stores. Battery voltage test. State of charge. Testing the battery voltage with a voltmeter is a simple method for determining the state of charge of any battery. See Figure 51-4. The voltage of a battery does not necessarily indicate whether the battery can perform satisfactorily, but it does indicate to the technician more about the battery's condition than a simple visual inspection. A battery that looks good may not be good. This test is commonly called an open circuit battery voltage test because it is conducted with an open circuit, no current flowing, and no load applied to the battery. Number 1. If the battery has just been charged or the vehicle has recently been driven, it is necessary to remove the surface charge from the battery before testing. A surface charge is a charge of higher than normal voltage that is just on the surface of the battery plates. The surface charge is quickly removed when the battery is loaded and, therefore, does not accurately represent the true state of charge of the battery. Number 2. To remove the surface charge, turn the headlights on high beam for 1 minute. Then turn the headlights off and wait 2 minutes. Number 3. With the engine and all electrical accessories off, and the doors shut, to turn off the interior lights, connect a voltmeter to the battery posts. Connect the red positive lead to the positive post and the black negative lead to the negative post. Note, if the meter reads negative, the battery has been reverse charged, or has reversed polarity, and should be replaced, or the meter has been connected incorrectly. Number 4. Read the voltmeter and compare the results with the state of charge abbreviated, SOC. The voltages shown are for a battery at or near room temperature, 70 degrees Fahrenheit to 80 degrees Fahrenheit, or 21 degrees Celsius to 27 degrees Celsius. See Chart 51-1. Refer to Figure 51-4, Figure A. A voltage reading of 12.28 volts indicates that the battery is not fully charged and should be charged before testing. Figure B. A battery that measures 12.6 volts or higher after the surface charge has been removed is 100% charged. Hydrometer testing. If the battery has removable filler caps, the specific gravity of the electrolyte can also be checked. A hydrometer is a tester that measures the specific gravity. See Figure 51-5. This test can also be performed on most maintenance-free batteries because their filler caps are removable, except for those produced by Delco, Delphi, Battery. The specific gravity test indicates the state of battery charge and can indicate a defective battery if the specific gravity of one or more cells varies by more than 0.050 from the value of the highest reading cell. See Chart 51-2. Refer to Chart 51-1. The estimated state of charge of a 12-volt battery after the surface charge has been removed. Refer to Figure 51-5. When testing a battery using a hydrometer, the reading must be corrected if the temperature is above or below 80 degrees Fahrenheit, or 27 degrees Celsius. Refer to Chart 51-2. Measuring the specific gravity can detect a defective battery. A battery should be at least 75% charged before being load tested. Frequently asked question. What is the 3-minute charge test? A 3-minute charge test is used to check if a battery is sulfated and is performed as follows. Step 1. Connect a battery charger and a voltmeter to the battery terminals. Step 2. Charge the battery at a rate of 40 amperes for 3 minutes. Step 3. At the end of 3 minutes, read the voltmeter. Results: if the voltage is above 15.5 volts, replace the battery. If the voltage is below 15.5 volts, the battery is not sulfated and should be charged and retested. This is not a valid test for many maintenance-free batteries. Due to the high internal resistance, a discharged Delphi Freedom battery may not start to accept a charge for several hours. Always use another alternative battery test before discarding a battery based on the results of the 3-minute charge test. Battery load testing. Terminology. One test to determine the condition of any battery is the load test. Most automotive starting and charging testers use a carbon pile to create an electrical load on the battery. The amount of the load is determined by the original CCA rating of the battery, which should be at least 75% charged before performing a load test. The capacity is measured in cold cranking amperes, which is the number of amperes that a battery can supply at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, or, minus 18 degrees Celsius, for 30 seconds. Test procedure to perform a battery load test, take the following steps. Step 1. Determine the CCA rating of the battery. The proper electrical load used to test a battery is half of the CCA rating, or 3 times the ampere hour rating, with a minimum 150 ampere load. See Figure 51-6. Step 2. Connect the load tester to the battery. Follow the instructions for the tester being used. Step 3. Apply the load for a full 15 seconds. Observe the voltmeter during the load testing and check the voltage at the end of the 15-second period, while the battery is still under load. A good battery should indicate above 9.6 volts. Step 4. Repeat the test. Many battery manufacturers recommend performing the load test twice, using the first load period to remove the surface charge on the battery and the second test to provide a truer indication of the condition of the battery. Wait 30 seconds between tests to allow time for the battery to recover. See Figure 51-7. Results: if the battery fails the load test, recharge the battery and retest. If the load test has failed again, replacement of the battery is required. Refer to Figure 51-6. This battery has a CCA rating of 600 amperes and a reserve capacity abbreviated, RC, of 110 minutes. Refer to Figure 51-7, a snap-on battery tester that is capable of performing a battery load test, as well as starter and alternator amperage tests. Electronic conductance testing. Terminology: General Motors Corporation, Chrysler Corporation, and Ford specify that an electronic conductance tester be used to test batteries in vehicles still under factory warranty. Conductance is a measure of how well a battery can create current. This tester sends a small signal through the battery and then measures a part of the AC response. As a battery ages, the plates can become sulfated and shed active materials from the grids, thus reducing the battery capacity. Conductance testers can be used to test flooded or absorbed glass mat type, a GM, batteries. The unit can determine the following information about a battery: the CCA, the state of charge, the voltage of the battery, and defects such as shorts and opens. However, a conductance tester is not designed to accurately determine the state of charge or CCA rating of a new battery. Unlike a battery load test, a conductance tester can be used on a battery that is discharged. This type of tester should only be used to test batteries that have been in service. See Figure 51-10. Refer to Figure 51-8. Most light-duty vehicles equipped with two batteries are connected in parallel as shown. Two 500 amperes, 12-volt batteries are capable of supplying 1,000 amperes at 12 volts, which is needed to start many diesel engines. Refer to Figure 51-9. Many heavy-duty trucks and buses use two 12-volt batteries connected in series to provide 24 volts. Frequently asked question: how should you test a vehicle equipped with two batteries? Many vehicles equipped with a diesel engine use two batteries. These batteries are usually electrically connected in parallel to provide additional current, amperes, at the same voltage. See Figure 51-8. Some heavy-duty trucks and buses connect two batteries in series to provide about the same current as one battery, but with twice the voltage, as shown in Figure 51-9. To successfully test the batteries, they should be disconnected and tested separately. If just one battery is found to be defective, most experts recommend that both be replaced to help prevent future problems. Because the two batteries are electrically connected, a fault in one battery can cause the good battery to discharge into the defective battery, thereby affecting both, even if just one battery is defective. Refer to Figure 51-10. A conductance tester is very easy to use and has proved to accurately determine battery condition, if the connections are properly made. Follow the instructions on the display exactly for best results. Warning: never charge or jump start a frozen battery. A discharged battery can freeze because the electrolyte becomes mostly water. Never attempt to charge or jump start a vehicle that has a frozen battery. When the battery freezes, it often bulges at the sides because water expands about 9% when it freezes, forming ice crystals that occupy more space than water. The crystals can trap bubbles of hydrogen and oxygen that are created during the chemical processes in a battery. When attempting to charge or jump start the frozen battery, these pockets of gases can explode. Because the electrolyte expands, the freezing action usually destroys the plates and can loosen the active material from the grids. It is rare for a frozen battery to be restored to useful service. Test procedure. Step 1. Connect the unit to the positive and negative terminals of the battery. If testing a side post battery, always use the lead adapters, and never use steel bolts, as these can cause an incorrect reading. Note: test results can be incorrectly reported on the display if proper, clean connections to the battery are not made. Also, be sure that all accessories in the ignition switch are in the off position. Step 2, enter the CCA rating, if known, and push the arrow keys. Step 3, the tester determines and displays one of the following. Number 1. Good battery. The battery can return to service. Number 2. Charge and retest. Fully recharge the battery and return it to service. Number 3. Replace the battery. The battery is not serviceable and should be replaced. Number 4. Bad cell replace. The battery is not serviceable and should be replaced. Some conductance testers can check the charging and cranking circuits, too. See Figure 51-11. Refer to Figure 51-11, a Medtronics tester that can not only test the battery but can also detect faults with the starter and alternator. Battery charging. Charging procedure: if the state of charge of a battery is low, it must be recharged. It is best to slow charge any battery to prevent possible overheating damage to the battery. Perform the following steps. Step 1, determine the charge rate. The charge rate is based on the current state of charge and charging rate. See Chart 51-3 for the recommended charging rate. Step 2, connect a battery charger to the battery. Be sure the charger is not plugged in when connecting a charger to a battery. Always follow the battery charger's instructions for proper use. Step 3. Set the charging rate. The initial charge rate should be about 35 amperes for 30 minutes to help start the charging process. Fast charging a battery increases the temperature of the battery and can cause warping of the plates inside the battery. Fast charging also increases the amount of gassing, release of hydrogen and oxygen, which can create a health and fire hazard. The battery temperature should not exceed 125 degrees Fahrenheit, 52 degrees Celsius, hot to the touch. Fast charge is 15 amperes maximum. Slow charge is 5 amperes maximum. See Figure 51-12. Refer to Figure 51-12, a typical industrial battery charger. Be sure that the ignition switch is in the off position before connecting any battery charger. Connect the cables of the charger to the battery before plugging the charger into the outlet. This helps prevent a voltage spike and spark that could occur if the charger happened to be accidentally left on. Always follow the battery charger manufacturer's instructions. Refer to Chart 51-3. Battery charging guideline showing the charging times that vary according to state of charge, temperature, and charging rate. It may take 8 hours or more to charge a fully discharged battery. Refer to Figure 51-13. Adapters should be used on side terminal batteries whenever charging. Refer to Figure 51-14, a typical battery jump box used to jump start vehicles. These hand-portable units have almost made jumper cables obsolete. Tech tip: charge batteries at 1% of their CCA rating. Many batteries are damaged due to overcharging. To help prevent damages, such as warped plates and excessive release of sulfur smell gases, charge batteries at a rate equal to 1% of the battery's CCA rating. For example, a battery with a 700 CCA rating should be charged at 7 amperes, 700 times 0.01 equals 7 amperes. No harm occurs to the battery at this charge rate, even though it may take longer to achieve a full charge. This means that a battery may require 8 or more hours to become fully charged, depending on the battery capacity and state of charge. Tech tip: always use adapters on side post batteries. Side post batteries require that an adapter be used when charging the battery, if it is removed from the vehicle. Do not use steel bolts. If a bolt is threaded into the terminal, only the parts of the threads that contact the battery terminal are conducting all of the charging current. An adapter or a bolt with a nut attached is needed to achieve full contact with the battery terminals. See Figure 51-13. Charging AGM batteries. Charging an AGM battery requires a different charger than is used to recharge a flooded type battery. The differences include: Number 1. The AGM can be charged with high current, up to 75% of the ampere hour rating due to lower internal resistance. Number 2. The charging voltage has to be kept at or below 14.4 volts to prevent damage. Because most conventional battery chargers use a charging voltage of 16 volts or higher, a charger specifically designed to charge AGM batteries must be used. Absorbed glass mat batteries are often used as auxiliary batteries in hybrid electric vehicles when the battery is located inside the vehicle. Frequently asked question: Should batteries be kept off of concrete floors? All batteries should be stored in a cool, dry place when not in use. Many technicians have been warned not to store or place a battery on concrete. According to battery experts, it is the temperature difference between the top and the bottom of the battery that causes a difference in the voltage potential between the top, warmer section, and the bottom, colder section. It is this difference in temperature that causes self-discharge to occur. In fact, submarines cycle seawater around their batteries to keep all sections of the battery at the same temperature to help prevent self-discharge. Therefore, always store or place batteries up off the floor and in a location where the entire battery can be kept at the same temperature, avoiding extreme heat and freezing temperatures. Concrete cannot drain the battery directly because the case of the battery is a very good electrical insulator. Battery charge time. The time needed to charge a completely discharged battery can be estimated by using the reserve capacity rating of the battery in minutes divided by the charging rate. Hours needed to charge the battery equals reserve capacity divided by charge current. For example, if a 10 ampere charge rate is applied to a discharged battery that has a 90-minute reserve capacity, the time needed to charge the battery is 9 hours. Jump-starting. To jump-start another vehicle with a dead battery, connect good quality copper jumper cables or a jump box to the good battery and the dead battery, as shown in Figure 51-14. When using jumper cables or a battery jump box, the last connection made should always be on the engine block or an engine bracket on the dead vehicle as far from the battery as possible. It is normal for a spark to occur when the jumper cables finally complete the jumping circuit, and this spark could cause an explosion of the gases around the battery. Many newer vehicles have special ground and/or positive power connections built away from the battery just for the purpose of jump starting. Check the owner's manual or service information for the exact location. Refer to Figure 51-15. The sticker on this battery indicates that it was shipped from the factory January 2015. Tech tip. Look at the battery date code. All major battery manufacturers stamp codes on the battery case give the date of manufacture and other information about the battery. Most battery manufacturers use a number to indicate the year of manufacture and a letter to indicate the month of manufacture, except the letter I, because it can be confused with the number 1. The shipping date from the manufacturing plant is usually indicated by a sticker on the body of the battery. Almost every battery manufacturer uses just one letter and one number to indicate the month and year. See Figure 51-15. Battery electrical drain test. Terminology. The battery electrical drain test determines if any component or circuit in a vehicle is causing a drain on the battery when everything is off. This test is also called the ignition off draw, abbreviated IOD, or parasitic load test. Many electronic components draw a continuous, slight amount of current from the battery when the ignition is off. This test should be performed when one of the following conditions exists. Condition 1. When a battery is being charged or replaced, a battery drain could have been the cause for charging or replacing the battery. Condition 2. When the battery is suspected of being drained. Refer to Figure 51-16. This mini clamp-on digital multimeter is being used to measure the amount of battery electrical drain that is present. In this case, a reading of 20 milliamperes, displayed on the meter as 0.02 ampere, is within the normal range of 20 to 30 milliamperes. Be sure to clamp around all of the positive battery cables or all of the negative battery cables, whichever is easiest to get the clamp around. Procedure for battery electrical drain test. Inductive DC ammeter. The fastest and easiest method to measure battery electrical drain is to connect an inductive DC ammeter that is capable of measuring low current, or 10 milliamperes. See Figure 51-16 for an example of a clamp-on digital multimeter, DMM, being used to measure battery drain. DMM set to read milliamperes. Following is the procedure for performing the battery electrical drain test using a DMM set to read DC amperes. Step 1, make certain that all lights, accessories, and ignition are off. Step 2, check all vehicle doors to be certain that the interior courtesy dome lights are off. Step 3, disconnect the negative battery cable and install a parasitic load thule, as shown in Figure 51-17. Step 4, start the engine and drive the vehicle about 10 minutes, being sure to turn on all the lights and accessories, including the radio. Step 5, turn the engine and all accessories off, including the underhood light. Step 6, connect an ammeter across the parasitic load tool switch and wait 20 minutes for all computers and circuits to shut down. Step 7, open the switch on the load tool and read the battery electrical drain on the meter display. Specifications results. Normal equals 20 to 30 milliamperes. Maximum allowable equals 50 milliamperes. Refer to Figure 51-17. After connecting the shutoff tool, start the engine and operate all accessories. Stop the engine and turn off everything. Connect the ammeter across the shutoff switch in parallel. Wait 20 minutes. This time allows all electronic circuits to time out or shut down. Open the switch all, current now flows through the ammeter. A reading greater than specified, usually greater than 50 milliamperes, indicates a problem that should be corrected. Case study. The Chevrolet battery story. A 2011 Chevrolet Impala was being diagnosed for a dead battery. Testing for a battery drain, or parasitic draw, showed 225 amperes, which was clearly over the acceptable value of 0.050 or less. At the suggestion of the shop foreman, the technician used a Tech2 scan tool to check if all of the computers and modules went to sleep after the ignition was turned off. The scan tool display indicated that the instrument panel showed that it remained awake after all of the others had gone into sleep mode. The IP cluster was unplugged and the vehicle was tested for an electrical drain again. This time, it was only 32 milliamperes, well within the normal range. Replacing the IP cluster solved the excessive battery drain. Summary. The complaint is that the battery was dead. The cause is excessive battery drain, parasitic draw, was found. Using a scan tool to test the modules, it was discovered that the instrument panel cluster remained awake and never powered down when the ignition was turned off. The correction is the IPC was replaced, which corrected the excessive battery drain problem. Battery drain and reserve capacity. It is normal for a battery to self-discharge, even if there is not an electrical load, such as computer memory, to drain the battery. According to General Motors, this self-discharge is about 13 milliamperes. Some vehicle manufacturers specify a maximum allowable parasitic draw or battery drain be based on the reserve capacity of the battery. The calculation used is the reserve capacity of the battery divided by 4. This equals the maximum allowable battery drain. For example, a battery rated at 120 minutes reserve capacity should have a maximum battery drain of 30 milliamperes. 120 minutes reserve capacity divided by 4 equals 30 milliamperes. Finding the source of the drain. If there is a drain, check and temporarily disconnect the following components. Component 1. Underhood light. Component 2. Glove compartment light, and Component 3. Trunk light. If after disconnecting these three components the battery drain draws more than 50 milliamperes, disconnect one fuse at a time from the fuse box until the excessive drain drops to normal. Note, do not reinsert fuses after they have been removed as this action can cause modules to wake up, leading to an inconclusive test. If the excessive battery drain stops after one fuse is disconnected, the source of the drain is located in that particular circuit, as labeled on the fuse box. Continue to disconnect the power side wire connectors from each component included in that particular circuit until the test light goes off. The source of the battery drain can then be traced to an individual component or part of one circuit. What to do if a battery drain still exists? If all the fuses have been disconnected and the drain still exists, the source of the drain has to be between the battery and the fuse box. The most common sources of drain under the hood include the following. Number 1. The alternator. Disconnect the alternator wires and retest. If the ammeter now reads a normal drain, the problem is a defective diodes in the alternator. Number 2. PCM or control module staying on and not going to sleep. The procedure usually involves disconnecting one module at a time, then checking to see if the battery drain has been reduced or eliminated. Check service information for the exact procedures to follow to determine if the modules are staying awake. Maintaining electronic memory functions. Battery disconnect issues. Whenever a battery is disconnected or replaced, many electrical and/or electronic modules may lose their memory, including radio presets and clock functions, plus anti-theft, if equipped, see Figure 51-18. Number 1. Security system. Number 2. PCM engine idle learn. And Number 3. Auto power windows or sunroof. To prevent having to reinitialize these modules, a memory saver can be used to keep power applied to the electrical system when the battery is disconnected. Refer to Figure 51-18. The battery was replaced in this Ford Focus and the radio displayed under code when the replacement battery was installed. Thankfully, the owner had the code required to unlock the radio. Refer to Figure 51-19. A special tool that includes a lighter plug what can be plugged into a Jumpstart battery unit and the other end connected to the data link connector, abbreviated DLC, of the vehicle to maintain the memory functions. Maintaining memory methods. There are two ways to connect power to prevent the loss of memory function. Connect a battery, 9-volt dry cell or 12-volt auxiliary battery, to the power, cigarette lighter, plug. See Figure 51-19. Connect a 12-volt auxiliary battery to terminals 4 and 16 of the data link connector. Use a commercially available memory saver for this procedure to help prevent possible damage that could occur if 12-volt power is accidentally applied to data lines at the DLC. Make the connections to the vehicle, using either method, before disconnecting the vehicle battery. The applied voltage, which is connected to the electrical system through the power plug or DLC, will keep all memory functions, so they do not need to be reset. See Figure 51-20 and 51-21. Reinitialization. If a memory saver was not used and the battery was disconnected, then the memory functions need to be reinitialization, which can include the following. Number 1. Auto power windows. To reset proper operation, use the window control for each window and hold the down button for a few seconds after the window reaches the bottom. Repeat for the up button, if the vehicle is equipped with auto up function. Number 2. Radio anti-theft. To unlock an anti-theft radio that has lost power, a code number is needed to get the radio to function again. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow if the owner does not have the radio code number, which is usually with the owner's manual. Number 3. Intelligent battery systems. Some vehicles, usually European brands, use an intelligent battery system that monitors the battery operation, including state of charge, voltage and temperature. As the battery ages, the system can compensate by changing the charging voltage. When a new battery is installed, the vehicle must have the new battery registered so that the system is at rest and does not overcharge the new battery. The replacement battery must be the same type, flooded or AGM, as the original to avoid potential issues. A scan tool is needed to register the new battery to the vehicle. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended procedures when replacing a battery. Refer to Figure 51-20, a memory saver tool that uses a 12-volt battery to connect to the power, terminal 16, and ground, terminals 4 and 5, of the DLC. Refer to Figure 51-21, a memory saver. The part numbers represent components from Radio Shack. B. A schematic drawing of the same memory saver. Some experts recommend using a 12-volt lantern battery, instead of a small 9-volt battery, to help ensure there is enough voltage in the event that a door is opened while the vehicle battery is disconnected. Interior lights could quickly drain a small 9-volt battery. Refer to Figure 51-22. Many newer vehicles have batteries that are sometimes difficult to find. Some are located under plastic panels under the hood, under the front fender, or even under the rear seat, as shown here. Tech tip. Dead batteries can freeze. If a battery becomes discharged, the electrolyte can freeze. This can occur because, when a battery is discharged, the acid leaves the electrolyte and is deposited on both the negative and positive plates, leaving just water. Never attempt to charge or place into service a battery that is frozen. Often the case is split, requiring the battery to be replaced. If a battery is found to be frozen, place the battery into a warm room with good ventilation and allow to thaw. If the case is not cracked, then it may be able to be restored to useful service, if charged at a low rate for several hours. Connect the load tester to. Frequently asked question. Where is the battery? Many vehicle manufacturers today place the battery under the back seat, under the front fender, or in the trunk. See Figure 51-22. Often, the battery is not visible, even if it is located under the hood. When testing or jump starting a vehicle, look for a battery access point. Battery symptom guide. The following list assists technicians in troubleshooting batteries. Refer to guide on page 596. Review questions. Question 1. What are the results of a voltmeter test of a battery and its state of charge? Question 2. What are the steps for performing a battery load test? Question 3. How is a battery drain test performed? Question 4. Why should a battery not be fast charged? Question 5. Why do some vehicles need to have a new battery registered? Chapter quiz. Question: Technician says that distilled or clean drinking water should be added to a battery when the electrolyte level is low. Technician B says that fresh electrolyte, solution of acid and water, should be added. Which technician is correct? A. Technician only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 2. A battery should be checked for. A. Being securely held down. B. Should have clean and tight battery terminals. C. The battery case being clean. D. All of the above. Question 3. What precautions are needed when charging an AGM type battery? A. Keep the charger away from the battery as far as possible. B. Charging amperage should be set to less than 10 amperes. C. Charging voltage should be at or below 14.4 volts. D. Keep the charging time to less than 1 hour. Question 4. A battery has just been changed on a popular European vehicle. What service should the technician perform before returning the vehicle to the owner? A. Charge the battery overnight. B. Register the new battery to the vehicle. C. Allow the vehicle to sit overnight with the headlights on. Then recharge the battery. D. No additional steps are required, other than just installing the battery. Question 5. A defective battery causes which of the following symptoms? A. Slow cranking. B. Excessive voltage, over 16 volts. C. Smooth, clean connectors, indicating overheating of the cables. D. None of these. Question 6. When measuring the specific gravity of the electrolyte, the maximum allowable difference between the highest and lowest hydrometer reading is A. 0.010. B. 0.020. C. 0.050. D. 0.50. Question 7. A battery high rate discharge, or load capacity, test is being performed on a 12-volt battery. Technician says that a good battery should have a voltage reading of higher than 9.6 volts, while under load, at the end of the 15-second test. Technician B says that a battery conductance tester is often used to load the battery to 2 times the CCA rating of the battery. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. When charging a lead-acid, flooded-type, battery. A. The initial charging rate should be about 35 amperes for 30 minutes. B. The battery may not accept a charge for several hours, yet may still be a good, serviceable, battery. C. The battery temperature should not exceed 125 degrees Fahrenheit, or 52 degrees Celsius, or hot to the touch. D. All of the above. Question 9. Normal battery drain, or parasitic drain, in a vehicle with many computer and electronic circuits is A. 20 to 30 milliamperes. B. 2 to 3 amperes. Circa 150 to 300 milliamperes. D. None of the above. Question 10. When jump starting. A. The last connection should be the positive post of the dead battery. B. The last connection should be the engine block of the dead vehicle. C. The alternator must be disconnected on both vehicles. D. Both A and C. End of chapter 51.